stood in line waiting for my inhaler. The pharmacy was my prison, and I did some research, learned that asthma's a condition, and you can get rid of it if you just improve your fitness. So I read a lot of books in the fitness magazines, and I searched the internet for the perfect routine, and I tried a lot of things, and nothing that I tried got me results. I wasn't satisfied, so I needed a guide, someone to show me the way. Then I got to see Tread DVD with BJ. He had passion in his eyes, I could tell he was lit, and ever since then I've been dealt with it. Woo! Y'all need a new routine. You can't just keep doing the same thing. If you want things to change, you gotta change the things you do. And make sure your routine is so fresh, so new. Woo!
Yo, BJ Gador with the BJ Gador Podcast. And today is a blessed day. Our special guest is DJ Z Sonic. Now, this man is a special man. This man is the member of the year in the year of our Lord 2023. The MJ year, 23, baby, at thedailybj.com, a longtime member, one of the most positive, energetic, enthusiastic people I've ever came across in and outside of our app. We're going to cover a lot of things today, his origin story, his musical influence as a DJ. We're going to look at also 2023 kind of wrapped music year in review, so, you know, songs, artists, albums to check out or that he's listening to as a tastemaker in the space. And also, we're going to talk about how he fits it in. You know, Zach, as is his government name, Zachary, all right, or DJ Z Sonic, you know, he finds a way to get these workouts in, a music teacher, coach, a musician. So how do you fit all this stuff in? We're going to talk about that today, whether you are a musician or not. I know you're busy, and it's tough to find a way to make it work. And this man just turned 40, so we're also going to talk about things in that realm as well, because this, you know, he's young at heart and body, because he takes care of himself, and he likes to really push it in and out of the gym. And then, you know, finally, this is what's kind of exciting. This man wrote an original rap for you guys. It's called The Fit Commitment. We'll finish out the show with an original performance from DJ Z Sonic. Before we kind of do the intro here, just a couple housekeeping issues. Free 7-day trial to access all of my workouts ad-free. Over 1,000. Past and present exclusive content, the best in the game at thedailybj.com. Link in the show notes. Also, sponsored by Athletic Greens, my go-to greens powder and nutritional supplement. I take it every single day. 75 whole food ingredients, 8 to 12 servings of fruits and vegetables, probiotics for digestive health. Go through my link in the show notes, and you can get 5 free travel packs and a 1-year supply of vitamin D. Very important if you are in a cold climate. And finally, our third and final sponsor is Sleeves Sold Separately, our men's athleisure line manufactured in downtown LA. All the gear you see me wear in my videos, the shorts, my signature short shorts that I popularize, okay? All right? My hoodies, my joggers, you name it, tank tops, it's all there at SleevesSoldSeparately.com. And again, all things will be linked in show notes, including what Zach is going on. So DJ Z Sonic, welcome to the show, baby.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. BJ, Uncle Baby Biscuits. So, I can't believe I'm in the flesh right now.
Oh, you are in the flesh. And look, tell me about this horse in the background.
Oh, yeah. This is, you know, unicorn. You know, we all need to unleash our unicorn out into the world. He's got the gorilla corn. Yeah. I'm all about those unicorn dreams. I'm all about dreaming big, you know. When you dream big, the universe helps you out. When you dream small, nothing really happens. So,
even when you fall short, it's tends to be further along than other people who just don't have the vision or the belief, yeah, right?
Right. Well, Bruce Lee has that quote is, don't fear failure. To aim low is the crime. So you always aim high.
There it is, man. No, that's, you know, and it's at risk oftentimes of people thinking that you're delusional, you know, like you've lost touch with reality. But you hear everyone that's kind of achieved great things with the gifts they've been given, right? We're not all going to be DJ Khaled or, Arnold Schwarzenegger in the fitness space, right? But we do the best we can with the gifts we've been given. And every day, you know, that's one thing that I really, you just stand out to me. A lot of people comment within the app over the years, but like, I have never seen any form of negativity from you. And as someone who, like, I turn off all comments anywhere except within our app. My whole thing is, like, at this stage of my career, if you want to insult me, you've got to pay me money first. So I'll give you one. I'll give you one insult. You got to subscribe to the Daily BJ, then I'll block you. But I, you know, at this stage of my life, I just don't feel like being insulted. I don't need the negativity in my life. I don't want to bring it into my home. And part of what I've been so blessed over the years is I've gotten members like you. They just keep showing up. They always bring positivity. You always focus on what you can do, not what you can't. You know, that Ottoman mentality that we talk about. And where does that, where, I mean, we're going to get into your origin story, but specifically like at a time where I feel like we really need more positivity from good people like you. Where does that come from? I mean, were you, did it used to be negative and you had like a breakthrough, or just were you born with just like this this joy? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out, man. It's crazy.
This is a great question. Yeah. I think it's, I can go deep on it, but I think I've always been sort of an exuberant, joyful person. But I did go through times in my life where I got real negative. And actually in 2020, so every year since 2020, at the end of 2019, I was like reflecting on the year and setting intentions for 2020. And I set my intention to become a terminator of positivity. I read this book called Psycho-Cybernetics, and it said you could, anytime something negative happens, you can wrestle it with positive aggression. So you can take any negative and turn it into a positive. And in 2019, going into 2020, I said, I'm going to be a terminator of positivity, meaning that no matter how much negativity comes at me, I'm going to be positive. I'm gonna flip it. I'm gonna judo flip it and turn it into something good. And as we all know, 2020 was crazy. So it put me to the ultimate test, right? And so I realized, like, just like gravity makes you stronger when you work against it intentionally, positive or negativity makes you mentally stronger. So gravity makes you physically stronger. Negativity makes you mentally and spiritually stronger when you choose to engage with it in a positive way, and also understand that you can never get rid of it. Like, gravity is always here on this planet. And if we work on our squats, work on our push-ups, we get stronger. And it's because of gravity that those things make us stronger. So I essentially made a commitment to be positive. And a commitment, I recently heard this, and I didn't know this definition at the time. I recently heard this definition from Queen Herbie, who's a big influence of mine. She said, a commitment is when your decision is stronger than any problem that might arise. And since I heard that definition of commitment, I'm like, oh, that word carries a lot of weight for me. And I made a commitment to be positive, and I made a commitment to be consistent. And you actually mentioned one time, I don't know when it was, you talked about being the eye of the storm and having your space where you can be calm and you can be yourself and you can be at the center. And I made that space for myself, and I was inspired by you and you said that. And so that helped. So it wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm all rainbows and sunshine all day, every day, right? Like, it's not like that at all. You know, and sometimes I'm deeply sad, but I allow myself to feel that way. I allow myself those moments to feel all the feelings that I feel. And so that allows me to be responsible for how I show up with others. I want other people to feel good. I made that. I try to always frame things by what I want. When I catch myself saying, oh, I don't want that, I try to catch myself and flip it to, what do I want? So like you said, I always focus on what I can do, not what I can't. I also try to focus on what do I want, not what I don't want. And so I want to feel good, and I want other people to feel good. And I love smiles. When people smile, and it makes me super happy. And so I just want, and there's this, one of my big influences, D-Light. They have a song about smiles and how it can change the world. Like, you know, even if I'm having a bad day, I can smile at someone else. And I just have this face. People tell me, like, my face makes them happy. So so if I smile when I'm walking down the street, I smile. If I'm having a bad day, I'll smile at someone else. And if they smile back at me, I feel good. And so that's what I want. I want to feel good. So I find little ways to feel good, but I also find little way. I also allow myself to feel bad feelings. I don't run away from the negativity. Accept it.
God, there's so much to unpack there. I mean, you know, number one, it's not that, like, I think some people think, oh, well, I hate, like, there's almost something called now toxic positivity. Like, you know, we're living in troubling times, an actual phrase, but it's not that people that, you know, exude positivity don't feel bad or have bad days or feel pain or get hit with negativity. It's just that we know this. Energy is neither created or destroyed. It's there. It's transferred. It can be redirected. And that's where, like, we have to be able to, I think, as men in particular, you know, men, we're taught to hold things in. We're taught to, you know, show our masculinity. And oftentimes we exude emotion through rage, you know, and that's like taken to an exponential level online because we have no accountability for our rage. We can just vomit negativity and rage without consequence. And obviously we've seen what that's done to people. You can put someone through a screen in a state where they feel bad about themselves, you know, and at best and at worst, you know, they want to take their own life. So, you know, we're starting the show on kind of a dark note, but, you know, I think it's important. It's like, you have a choice what you want to project into the world, at your job, in your home, at your place of worship, in your community, with your friends, online, and ultimately, what side do you want to be on? Do you want to be part of the rage, the hate, the cynicism, the negativity? You want to be part of the joy, the laughs, the smiles, the good times, elevating others. And I've seen this man do it within our, like, you know, look, people are busy, but you're one of those guys that like goes out of their way to like support other members and then light up their day with, oh, great. You know, you've got less pain on the squat or you improved your range of motion, you know, these small things. And so that's the other piece I wanted to kind of highlight with you as well, is that you are a real process guy. You know, we talk about at the Daily BJ, you know, simple thing for like a busy parent professional, right? 3, 20, 52, 3 full body workouts a week, 20 minutes each, 52 weeks of the year. You can boil it all down to that. People want to overcomplicate it with like, you know, what's the best workout? What's the best equipment? What's the best this or that? No, if you commit to that process, it's not going to be linear. Like you're not going to get more muscular and less fat every day in an equal way. But when you work the process like that in and out of the gym, eventually you find your way. And then I guess the third thing is, and by the way, you have not missed a workout, am I correct, for like 2 or 3 straight years? Like you've not missed one.
I actually, full disclosure, I missed the very last one, the end of December last year, probably because I don't know. I got sick. My girl got sick at her work. I was like deadly sick. I had to just lay in my bed for like 4 days and I missed one. So I missed one, the very last one in December last year. But other than that, yeah, no, I have not.
Blasphemy!
I know. I should have just crawled out of my bed and just like did one push-up and I would have counted it.
But look, man, you didn't die. You're still here. You're still in the game. Look, by the way, you get a sick pass. You know, you know, it was actually funny. Quick story before I highlight the other piece too. I was obsessed with attending school. Like, I guess I'm a loser. I don't know. But like I wanted to get those perfect attendance awards and I hit a certain streak that the principal said to me, we're going to give you a day off. So you know what? You hit a streak. I'm giving you a pass. VIP exclusive. And by the way, I'll give you one more. You can miss one more workout the rest of the year too. I'm gonna give that to you and you'll maintain 100%. Because again, like,
sweet. I love it.
You do other things, right? Outside of just hitting in the workout. But the other piece is, man, you just turned 40, but you look like you're 20. And I mean that in the most positive way. You've got a youthful exuberance, a nice glow. And by the way, like a big part of aging, speaking of someone who's 41, your senior, attitude, man. There's aging attitudes and they make you older. They make you look older physically. What is the secret? Like, are you putting on special lotions? Are you in a hyperbaric chamber? Like, you look fantastic at 40, bro. Really, I respect the process here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, I think there's a lot of things, but again, I made a commitment to myself. I love myself. I have a very, like, I have an AM, PM routine that involves breath work. I always do something for my health. So I have a daily must, right? I do something for my health. I do something for my music. I do something for my business. And I do something to grow myself personally. And I would say that, you know, being aligned with my purpose fills me with a lot of energy that keeps me positive and keeps me going. I drink a lot of water. I eat a lot of vegetables. But I don't have any kind of like strict diet. Like I'm not doing certain keto or paleo or I don't even know. I don't even learn about that stuff, honestly. I just eat what I need to eat. I pay attention to how it makes me feel. And I know that certain things are going to make me feel a little bit worse, so I don't eat them as much. But I try to be mindful about what I eat. And lately I've been really trying to like chew slow. lot of times people talk about, you know, changing your diet, but they don't ever talk about the actual skill of eating. So I heard this thing that said anything that's important to your life, you should train it. So breathing, sleeping, walking, eating, these are things that are important. And these are all things that I train. I practice. That's one thing I always do is all practice. So if I want to get good at something, I practice. And it might sound crazy too, but I visualize myself with better skin, looking better, looking nicer. I made a commitment to a habit that keep me healthy. I always, I wake up, I drink a lot of water. I hyperhydrate first thing in the morning. This is a big one, and I recommend this to anyone. I have absolute proximity to water at all times. I can always reach out and if I don't have that, it feels weird. And so I'm hydrated all the time. If I look at my water, I drink it. If I think about water, I drink it all day. Yes, I love it. Water. So hydration is, we're like bodies, mostly water. So
by the way, like you're looking to take your water game to the next level. Propel Black, this should be an ad. DJ Z Sonic, this should be an ad, but it's not. Propel Black Cherry. I've got Invisalign. So I don't mind like G0, but the dyes, I just can't use it for the things I have in my mouth. So it's clear, delicious. Black cherry is my favorite flavor. And then my favorite carbonated water is Topo Chico.
Topo Chico, yeah.
This is next level. What you want to do is you want to take a lime also and just drizzle that lime all in this. This is for classy people.
I love that. Yeah. Classy
or hydration. Or you can use fine-ass water too. But hydration is key. Other good skin secrets, because you know I'm sure your girlfriend passes them on to you as well. My wife is she's a skin whisperer. Puerto Rican genes too, it's help. But I invested in a couple things, you know, because now at 40, bro, we really got to pay attention to the skin, because you know some mornings you wake up and your face looks like a bag of dicks. You know, usually it is because of dehydration or the way you slept, or again, like it kind of takes an older face like 30 to 60 minutes to like look normal again. I can't imagine what it's gonna look like in 10, 20 years, but I got this. It's expensive as fuck. It's this called Theramask, and it has like an infrared, like red, blue light treatment. You just put the mask on, like, you know, again, obviously, you know, the good oils, right? Coconut oil is fantastic. I like a good steam shower, steam sauna. Great for the skin. Hot, cold. Cold is good for the skin, too.
Mm-hmm.
Helps keep it tight. Helps with the inflammation. So, you know, I probably should do a whole episode on it. You know, because, again, like, I think we're both doing pretty good for, you know, 40, 41, respectively.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned the oil. Like I said, I got that morning and night routine, so I moisturize in the morning and night. And you mentioned a sauna, too. My partner, Heather, she works at this Clarity Float Spa, so they got the float tanks. Oof. And they got the saunas. So every Friday, I could do a sauna and I do a float. And yeah, I think the sauna, like as far as the skin goes and just circulation and feeling good, the sauna is like, I need to get one at my house because I'd be in there almost every day, I'm pretty sure.
Have you seen my private sauna that I got?
No, I didn't know you had that.
Okay, so this is it's a starter sauna. It was only $350.
What?
And basically what it is, it's like a little phone booth tent. And then you have a steamer, you fill it with water, you put the hose in, it's a legit, like, look, it doesn't have the aesthetic of the $10,000 saunas, but again, I was going to the public sauna, man. These, I'll tell you what, you know, like men need to work on their etiquette. Okay, like open in there, farting in there, talking shit.
Oh, dang.
It's a relaxation. All right. I don't want to be smelling, you know, and then also the BO. So anyway, like I got to get a starter sauna. I didn't want to drop, you know, thousands of dollars. So I got this. Again, $350. Great starter sauna. It's for me, it's like a every morning I start with after I get my initial kind of marketing out, social media bullshit, newsletter. And then I do a full hour in there listening to either a podcast or music. And then it's like a think tank, man. I plan my whole day. I stretch in there because you're so warm and sweaty. All my shin boxing, my kneeling stretches. And it's again, like it's a great process. All right away to start the day, I'm doing something that's positive for my overall health, my aging skin. You know, I'll send you the link because, you know, it's a great, I can't recommend it highly enough for something that is affordable. It's not obviously like, I mean, it's a phone booth. So like, I can't fully get all the way up. It's like, I'm 6'2 and I only go 6 feet high, but you know what? it's kind of forcing me to get even more mobile because I like to move around in it. Mm. But you know, hey, we all start somewhere. You don't start with a full home gym. You start with like a band and a dumbbell, right? And then you round it out. But I can't, I mean, the couple months I've been using it, my skin has never looked better. You know, you're detoxifying, you know, you're cleaning things out and it just, it's supple. And that's what I'm looking for that supple.
Gotta get that supple, that sup. Another thing I do is, it's a simple thing, but I used to always rub myself dry with a towel. And then I read it's better for your skin if you pat yourself dry. So I don't even dry myself fully. I'll pat myself and then say a little bit moist and sort of air dry. That helps me out with the skin.
I like it. Exfoliation is key. I mean, look, the men, we have mostly men watching it. Like, I wish these two fuckers would shut the fuck up about skin.
It's so important. It's your biggest organ.
Exercise related. But you know what? The other piece of it too is, you know, and people, I've said this on other episodes in the past too, but again, you always have to like pretend like it's the first time people are listening when you do stuff like this. I'm sure when you do a show as a DJ, you're not, you know, you got to use some of the greatest hits, or you got a flow in place, a set. But, you know, stress and overexertion ages your face big time. You know, like you get in the habit of like always going like this, you know, and you're always super stressed out. I mean, there's stress lines that happen in your face. It makes you look older or just, you know, not like someone that you want to approach. So, you know, the breathing meditation piece helps with that. And just, you know, really just finding a way to just relax your face. You know, check yourself every once in a while. Like, you know, oh, like what's going on here? Why am I like this? You know, because if you don't check yourself every once in a while, you just all day you're like that, right? And that's why I like also people that do like super high intensity exercise. I call it CrossFit face. They have these awesome bodies, but their face looks like they're 65 when they're 30. You know, from just always being in like God mode, trying, you know, killing themselves, hero workout mode. So anyway, moving on to just kind of like talk to us about your origin story here. Like, obviously you're a music teacher, you're a DJ, you know, but you also found your way to exercise and fitness and nutrition and all that stuff. Give us the 3 to 5 minute, like, you know, biopic here.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So one of my earliest memories is going to a Paul Simon concert with my dad in the '80s, had a, dance contest with him, just me and him dance. And then I just asked these people around, I was like five, like, who's a better dancer? Of course they picked me, 'cause I was a cute little kid. But at the time I was like, I'm the greatest. I love dancing. I love performing. I remember performing The Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham for like my family and stuff. And I did a first rap music video when I was like 6 or 7 with my cousins. We just did a cover song of a song about when you bite a Big Mac and it bites you back. I don't know if you remember that, but a little 80s thing. So yeah, I always love music. Always love performing. And yeah, when I got into my teenage years, I was like, man, I love music. I started DJing and I was like, man, I'd rather be broke and making music than having some terrible job. So I just got a pizza delivery job so I could drive around and write raps and listen to music while I delivered. And then, but I never fully like allowed myself to like receive the gifts of my own DJing. I think I limited myself from really making that a career. But when I was 27, I thought I was about to die. I got sick. I couldn't breathe. I lived on the third floor. I'd be walking up the stairs. I'd be wheezing. And there was one day I thought I was about to die because I couldn't breathe. I went to the emergency and they're like, oh, you have severe asthma. And I was like, well, that's pretty fucked. That sucks. And they're like, they put me on like a ventilator or whatever, or those, I don't know, whatever, the machine that just like pump in your face. And they're like, oh, you need to get a prescription to inhalers. And so I started researching about inhalers and what they're like, and also researching about asthma, because I don't like to rely on other people. Like, I don't want to rely on this prescription to be able to breathe. I was like, no, that is crazy. And then I started researching asthma and found out that it's actually conditions. I used to think it was a disease and you have it and you're just screwed. But it's actually a condition, and you can improve it and possibly even get rid of it if you just like improve your fitness. So that's when I started getting into fitness. And then 27, 28 was a crazy time for me. I've been with my partner all together, like maybe like 20 years, but we were broken up for about a year and it was around that same time. And so I was also trying to get my body looking right, because I wanted to be out there, right? And then I really wanted to get my girl back, and I was like, you know, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna look right, I'm gonna get my breath right. So I started going to the Y and getting into fitness, and then I found you. I remember I was in Florida, and I had already done the Delta Fit Speed Shred. I did that whole program, changed my life. And that was actually the first workout program that I stuck with, because I tried a bunch of things and I never finished them. I was like, this is boring. I don't like it. It's not fun. Like at first at the Y, it was weight machines. I did like a circuit with weight machines, and I was like, this is like, did that for a few months, and I was like, this is so boring. I didn't like this. But there was some people at the Y. There was a woman and a man who were in their 70s at least. And this woman would come with a weight belt and just like lift these huge barbells. And I was like, that's inspiring. Like she's out here getting, she just looked like a grandma you see at the grocery store, regular grandma lady. But in the gym, she was going super hard. And I was like, wow, that's cool. So that gave me like inspiration that oh yeah, you can keep doing this. And you know, when I was 27, I thought I was about to die. You know, you think you're really old when you're getting close to 30. When you're in your 20s, people are like, it's okay, you have your whole life ahead of you, figure it out. And then as soon as you turn 30, it's like, you're dead. What are you even doing with your life? You're freaking dead now, you old ass Mo. So like, yeah, I was like, okay, no, I'm not that old. Look at this lady, right? So I got into fitness, and then I started reading Men's Health magazine, found the Delta Fit Speed Shred, did that. And then, you know, I was more linked up with what you had going on. And I remember I was in Florida and you dropped this pre-order for the Body Is Your Barbell book. And I pre-ordered that book while I was in Florida, and then eventually got the book. And that was, I loved that book. So that changed my life, and kept doing music. I started doing mixing and mastering for some underground labels and stuff. And that wasn't really giving me what I wanted. I ended up becoming a manager at Papa John's. That wasn't giving me what I wanted. I was actually, you asked me about positivity. I used to be real mad. I used to pop off on people, and used to flip. They used to call me the Hulk at Papa John's. I didn't smoke cigarettes, but they would make me take food breaks. I was like, you got to give me food breaks, or I'm gonna snap off on y'all fools. So yeah, I just like, man, F all this. I started becoming a manager at Papa John's, and I didn't want to be like a GM or like a corporate manager. So I just got angry and quit. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to do this music thing. Like, I'm too good at this. I need to do this. And started taking it seriously. Like, I'm going to build a career around this, around my music. And then I found Musical You, which I've been working with for about 5 years now. And we have this next level coaching program, which we've been doing for a little over a year. So I do one-on-one coaching with people, helping them achieve their dreams. Like, I have a very big passion for helping other people achieve success, and especially with creativity and things that make them like truly happy. Because I believe that if we all did what we truly wanted, and not like, oh, I want a piece of cake right now, or I want to go punch this window out right now. What you truly want, which I believe has to do with, you know, you want good friends, you want good family, you want to have a good time, you want love, you want to help people out, you want to feel useful, you know, things that you truly want that bring you happiness. If we all did that, then man, our world would be amazing, right? So I'm living that now with the musicality coaching, and I'm also bringing that to my performances and my music. And I've gone through this program called Music Career Accelerator, which is amazing. And I'm also a coach for them, helping with production. And so, yeah, I'm like doing it. You know, I got stuff on Spotify now, and I got a music video out earlier this year. There was my partner, first music video. Got a bunch more songs done and a bunch of plans for the next couple years. I actually just been doing this 3-year Vivid Vision. So this is like what my live show is going to be like in 3 years. And yeah, I'm going to make it happen. So feeling good.
Good for you, man. I love it. And you know, specifically the breathing, you know, breathing eludes many people. And I think a lot of people just look at it from the standpoint of, you know, well, I'm fat, or I'm weak, or I need muscle, so I don't have time, and I'm short on time, so I don't have the time to work on my breathing. And wow, are you missing the boat? Because again, like, if you look at the hierarchy of life, right, you can go days, weeks, months without eating. You can only go a couple days without water or sleep, and you can only go a couple minutes without breathing. So you tell me where the first focus should be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of what we try to do with thedailybj.com is, you know, there are like certain breathing routines I can recommend or we've shown, but what we try to do is give a breathing strategy for every exercise within every workout. So it's kind of built in to what we're doing. And I think that's a lot of people just go into exercise and they think, okay, I'm either working hard or I'm not. So I'm going to just go as hard as possible. We try to talk about doing is, okay, here's how I recommend breathing to maximize this exercise, but limit your intensity, your effort based on your ability to maintain that breathing strategy. Like, here's an example, right? So if we're doing something cardiovascular, not what I call the 4-4 rhythmic breathing, and let's say you're doing a high knee run in place. So every four steps, you inhale, every four steps, you exhale. And that just gives you kind of a breath train and a flow you can ride so that you don't get so metabolically exhausted. It means you work harder for longer. You can apply this to your walk, just strides, you know. But if you can't maintain the breathing and you start to like hold your breath or you get off that rhythm, it means you're going too fast for your body's current breathing capacity. So what I mean by that is you're going into survival mode, which is fine. Like, that's a mode we've been hardwired to have to survive certain situations, but you can't live in survival mode. You get too stressed out. You get too, it just tears you up. It's hard to recover from. So if anything, it's like they're the brakes you put on your body so that you don't get so exhausted and that this isn't so hard, because that's part of the problem too, is people associate exercise with like not being able to breathe, being so sore and in pain. It's not sustainable. You can't build habits off of stuff like that. You can go maybe 6 weeks. No, you can't go 6 months. You definitely can't go 6 years in survival mode because you got other shit that's stressing you out. So, you know, that's something that we talk about a lot. And I know I've seen your post-workout reports with the workouts. Like, one of the things you're always talking about is how much better your breathing is, because, you know, we actually return to certain workouts at certain parts of the year to kind of have built-in progress tracking without testing. But for me, true progress is going back to something you did previously that was tough, and then you can do it effortlessly. Bruce Lee style. Yeah. I'm not sweating. I feel good. I'm ready to keep going. I'm holding enough in the tank because I know I got to do more tomorrow or later in the day. So you want to talk about the breath piece, because again, you know, people that might have asthma or just breathing, apnea is a big issue. You know, snoring, those types of things. A lot of that can be not necessarily fully fixed, but addressed or improved, you know, through an exercise program that focuses on breathing properly through exercise, not just like panting through it and dying through it.
Yes. Yeah, I love it. And the breathing components that you bring to the wows have been definitely game changer. And it's funny to me that, you know, I get it. Like, people, I don't have time to practice my breathing, but I sort of reframed it for myself. And all the wows are me just practicing my breathing in different movements and different shapes. And by focusing on the breathing first, and like you said, using the breathing as a gauge, both in the moment for when I need to maybe take a little rest, but also over time to measure progress, is amazing. It feels good. And I get way better results from the workouts. I like way better, like focusing on my breath first. And if my breath, and I haven't had a wheezing or asthma or taken inhalers in years now. So I haven't really had any wheezing problems in a while. But before, when I was still having wheezing, I couldn't go past. Like, I'd have to breathe through my nose. And if I was walking or anything, and if it got to the point where I had to breathe through my mouth, I would start to wheeze. So I couldn't. I had like a hard stop on where I could let my breath go. And so I kind of trained myself to always use my breath as a gauge. And if I have to, and if I'm walking or running or really doing anything, dancing, I breathe through my nose. And if I get to the point where I feel I need to breathe in through my mouth, that's when I know I need to take a little rest. And it's generally just a few seconds, just to, especially if I don't let it get too far. If I notice it like before it starts to be, I need to breathe through my mouth, then I take a little second to go back to natural breathing. Because if you can just breathe naturally and all the things that you do, like you say, you won't be so, you'll be able to do anything and you'll be calm. You'll be poised. You'll be ready for anything that's coming your way. And that's how I want to be. And I think of it like gas. You know, I don't wait until I run out of gas and I'm all stranded on the side of the road before I go fill out my tank again. So it's the same thing with breathing. If I wait to stop my workout when I'm panting and exhausted, then I've essentially got to the point where I ran out of gas. And we all know if we push our car too far, we're going to break it. And then it's going to be expensive to fix it. I'd rather keep it running smooth the whole time. And I actually use that as a metaphor because I was a delivery driver. I use that as a metaphor for my own body. Like, I got to keep my car running smooth so it makes me money. I got to keep my body. What really makes me money is my body. If I don't have a body to drive my car, then my car doesn't make me any money, right? So I had to say, okay, why would I treat my body worse than I treat my car? And so I got to keep that gas. Breath is everything. And I love to vocals and I sing and I rap. So again, breath, I can't be on stage like doing a rap and then be like, give me a second, guys. I need to catch my breath. So I plan that in my performance. You know, I have to moments. I can't just like go full on the whole time. I have to plan out moments where I'm going to like recover from my breath and stuff. But I'm always paying attention to it. I try to be, like I said, always practicing. If you're always practicing, you don't have to worry about making time for practicing. So any moment throughout your day is a moment where you can practice your breathing. And it starts with just being aware of your breath. I learned that, I forgot the timing on it, but it's like 5 times an hour or something like this. I don't remember. You take a naturally bigger breath than you normally do. And it's a survival mechanism to maintain your breathing capacity. So if you notice yourself taking that bigger breath, and I did this, I started practicing, just take that as a moment to be really aware of that and take a really big breath and feel it and then let it go and just notice how it feels when you let your breath out. It's like, it's really like, it means a lot to me and I'm very passionate about it because I had to do it. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie called Kung Fu Killer, but this dude has one leg that's shorter than the other and he gets beat by all these kung fu masters. And then he makes a commitment, there's that word again, to make his short leg his weapon, his ultimate weapon. So he turned his biggest weakness into his biggest strength. And then he comes back and like starts killing all these masters that beat him with his weak ass leg. So my breath was my weakest thing. So anytime I find my weakest thing, I want to flip it and make it my strongest thing. And the breathing is like, if you want more gains, you want more recovery, you want to feel better, you want to go longer, the breathing is the easiest thing to practice all the time that will make everything in your life easier and better. It's insane.
I need to unpack a couple things there because, again, like, you know, by the way, those listening too, if you haven't heard it yet, earlier in the year I did a podcast called The Breathing Podcast, my top 10 breathing tips. And this was, like, I've got my two biggest weaknesses in fitness or in the gym, if you will, historically, were mobility and I could not breathe at all. I was a mouth breather. I had no concept. I could not even bring air through my nasal passages. I don't want to go into too much of it right now. That's a separate podcast I did. And by the way, I'll be doing more specifically on YouTube on breath videos and stuff like that. But I'll drop the link in the show notes. You got to listen to this episode because, you know, part of why, you know, like Zach, you know, I perform. But I've got to do, like, a side note too, like, nothing's worse than seeing like your favorite artists like growing up as a kid and then you see them like older but out of shape and they can still, obviously they still have the vocal ability but they don't have the conditioning. It's like, no, like, singing is all breath. It's all breath. I mean, you know the great one above gave you the chords, right? But, you know, you've got to train the diaphragm and the lungs to hold the notes and maintain it and not get shaky. And so when I'm doing these follow along workouts, like, I would feel like I was dying because I didn't know how to breathe. And I'm talking while exercising and then the bright lights are on. So for me, I had to go, okay, I'm going to stop doing this for a while. I'm going to rebuild my breathing. It took about 3 to 5 years. Again, like, that's an amount of time for most people that don't have vision or have a big picture mentality. Like, oh, that's, if it's going to take that long, fuck it. I either won't do it or I'll just kill myself every time I go out on stage or I have to perform and get up for a presentation, whatever it is that you do in life. So, but sometimes you got to go all the way back to ground zero. And by the way, that's for those listening, we're coming, approaching the new year. If you're at that get back in shape or eternal beginner phase and or you need to go back to the basics and rebuild a foundation you can build upon for the rest of your life, that's a great place to be, especially. You can say it is harder in some ways as you get older, but as you get older too, ego is less of a thing. So kind of, you're like, you're not as worried about like competing with others, hopefully, or, you know, like competing with your younger self or like how much weight you're using. Because again, you're like, okay, like if you're 40, you ran and if you're lucky to live to 80, you've ran the first half of the race of life. You get another 40 years. You know, stop putting so much pressure on yourself to get so much done so fast. I know we live in this instant gratification microwave society, and all day long, like, we're getting flooded with people, oh, this overnight success. No, it's not like that. And maybe it is for some people. It's not that way for me. It hasn't been that way for Zach. So, you know, you've got to really be okay with looking at things from a totally different standpoint than I think. Because again, when I got into this space, like, no one talked about breathing. You know, breathing was reserved for the yogis or the monks or the meditation side, a more Eastern approach. In the West, it was just like, how much can you lift? How fast can you run? How high can you jump? It's all outcome-based things with no process. And by the way, in terms of longevity, you know, we're talking, he's 40, I'm 41. We're doing great. We feel great. One of the biggest things, because my resting heart rate was way too high because I was so fucking stressed out. You're constantly mouth breathing, survival, chest, neck, face breathing. And I've been able to bring my resting heart rate down 10 to 15 plus beats a minute. And you don't realize, like, those extra beats a minute, we've been given X number of beats. Yes. Genetics. Like, I mean, it's just like people that have a higher resting heart rate, they're leaving this earth faster and they're living in states of stress and oxygen deprivation. It's not a fun way to live. I'm not saying you're going to live longer, but, you know, certainly you'll have a higher quality of life if you focus on your breath. So again, check out that episode, and hopefully those are inspired. Like, again, it's not something, like, it doesn't have to be so exhausting. Maybe you just start by kind of learning how to breathe. And by the way, I teach you strategies or things to start with, like the box breath and stuff like that. You can get going on right away. And now coming back to some of this stuff, by the way, like, now I'm not dreading the performance as much because I know, like, if you go into something knowing you're not going to be able to breathe, you get, like, panicked. You get anxiety. Yes. It's like it's just not going to work out. So, again, that's a long-winded way of saying, like, work on your breath. It's like, well, no shit. But what do you do? Again, we did a podcast on this, and I'll be sharing more as well. So there's a couple things that I want to unpack before we talk about, you know, music specifically. Obviously, we got a special song performance coming towards the end here. How are you? You've done so many workouts at the Daily BJ. You know, what are some of your favorites or highlights or stuff that you like, you know, you like the most, or stuff that really challenges you? Like, I'm just curious as the programmer and you as kind of the guy in there doing them day in, day out, you know, give me some downloads on this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of like one of those people that are like, oh, what kind of music do you listen to? I listen to all kind of music. I like it all. I kind of like all the stuff. So I kind of like all the workouts, but I definitely, I remember when I first joined, the Bulgarian split squat was like the hardest freaking thing I ever did. And then it got a little way easier. And then there was all kind of variations of it. And that was awesome. I liked some of the recent stuff a lot with like the TRX and the rings and the bars. Yeah, I got dip bars and pull up bars and rings and stuff. So I like all that kind of stuff. And I love the stuff that's really just simple. You had some ones this year that were sort of just push ups and squats that you sort of progressed in different ways, like just body weight, switching between some sort of push up thing, some sort of squat thing, because you can do that anytime, anywhere. I think I mentioned this on the site before, like back pocket workouts, you can just be like, yes, boom, I can do, I need to work out right now. I don't have any equipment. I'm standing here. What am I going to do? Boom, push-ups and squats, right? But that can be boring. So it's nice to have all the cool variations and different things you can try. Yeah. And I actually like the sliders a lot, to be honest. That might sound crazy. Some people might be like, why do you like sliders? But I'm like, it's kind of back to that breathing thing. It's so cheap and so effective. And you could do a lot with it. I think it's pretty fun. And yeah.
I think the one you're talking about too is so like one of my, especially as you get older, like I call it metabolic mobility. So, you know, again, like people look at like stretching as one thing and fat loss as one thing and strength training as another thing. But when you structure workouts appropriately, where you're alternating between, for example, and what Zach's describing, it would be like a down dog variation, which is going to strengthen your core, your chest, your shoulders, stretch your hips and hamstrings, you know, really get you good at planks and push-ups, and ultimately really stress the upper body with like a squat mobility exercise that gets, you know, as you're working up high, you're working down low, you're going back and forth, and you're kind of going almost nonstop. So that's what I call like fucking around to get in a triple double.
Yeah, you know that, that's like,
these are the flows that keep the gains garden growing. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah. And they're great hotel workouts. They're great workouts to start the day, and they don't overly tax you, right? Because sometimes the last thing you need after like your boss chewing you out at work, or you know your dog pissing all over the place, is a workout that's going to crush you and kick your ass as you get older. That's one of the things. It's not that we can't go hard anymore. It's just we can't do that to ourselves so regularly. We got to really take care of ourselves. You know, like this, you almost like punish yourself in your 20s, and you almost kind of have to in some ways just to have the perspective as you get older, maybe appreciate how far you've come later in life to like, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. You know, like yeah. I've got a starter sauna. I didn't have that like when I was in my 20s, freezing my ass off in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right? Just trying to survive out there and get the hell out to California. I love that style, that metabolic mobility style. And like you said too, you know, I've read all your comments. So you like the body weight stuff, which I'm like your body's your barbell style. Like I'm such a fan of that stuff, man. Like, because, you know, that's the ownership, right? Like people always want to go to weights first. That's the instinct. I don't know if it's because of what they see or what they've grown up watching, or if it's just what everyone else is doing, but it all starts here. Everyone wants to go external versus internal resistance. And if you have a body weight foundation, like I look at weights as just tools to accompany and complement your body weight foundation. Most people look at it body weight as just like an accessory thing you might work in occasionally, but not essential. And it's ass backwards. And I think you found that in your own training.
Yeah, I think it's like what I said, I don't want to be reliant on an inhaler to breathe. I don't want to, I like using dumbbells and other things too. I like kettlebells. I like that stuff too, but I don't want to be reliant on that. I want to be able to achieve what I want to achieve with myself. And I've always been that kind of a person. I don't want to be reliant on others. And going back to what workouts you're talking about, I was also thinking while you're talking, I love that kickboxing. I like the boxing and the kickboxing. Oh, I like skills. I like developing skills.
Talk about breathing, right? Like, and the thing is you can't, if you want to do a boxing or kickboxing or combat cardio or MMA style workout and you don't know how to breathe, it's not going to happen. Like, or it's going to be, it'll literally be one of those, like, you're going to see darkness. You're going to see God's face. And that's obviously not something you want to repeat. You'll do it one time. You'll never do it again. This is, I'm talking like trauma. And by the way, a lot of us have trauma with exercise early in life. Like I think about some of the things that like suicides in basketball. And a dusty gym when you know, as punishment, like where literally I'm coughing for 3 to 5 days after this, like you're emotionally scarred and also physically affected in a way that it just fucks you up for days. Yep. When I did the Delta Fit speed shred shoot, my knees were already swollen on day one. I had 4 more days to go. I was like, dude, I mean, explosive diarrhea between takes. I mean, my system, like by the end of that week, man, I was in tears. I finished the last video in tears from just the stress, emotional, psychological, physical. It's like, you know, it's real. So where was I going with that? What the fuck were we talking about? This is what happens at 41, bro. This is just like,
what's happening?
Well,
thank you for your sacrifice and making the Delta Fit pushing through.
Oh yeah, yeah. Thank you so much.
Another type of workout I like, I love the, and I'm thinking about doing it again, the hangs and planks, like the 12-week.
Oh, that's another great one.
Kind of specialization thing.
Yes.
I love those. That's.
We're talking great. About boxing, right?
Yeah, we were talking about boxing and kickboxing, yeah.
So that's the piece of it too. Like specifically, like if there's one thing I can recommend like to pick up, right? Because what do we need as we get older, over 30? Well, what do we lose? We lose reaction speed. We lose dexterity. We lose, some people don't even have it in the first place, rhythm and coordination. That was my third thing that I was missing. Because again, you know, I was a football lineman, strength, power, like that's all that was pushed on me. So the ability to breathe, the ability to have mobility across my joints, pain-free, and then just rhythm or coordination. Because again, you know, men, especially of a particular, you know, time frame, also from the Midwest, it's not like, you know, a lot of men I knew were dancing or like, you know, again, there's ego, there's all this stuff, right? And privately, like my best mobility sessions, I put on some music, I find the beat, I tend to breathe at the cadence of the beat, and I move to the beat. And again, this is stuff that I have never put on video yet, because again, I'd probably be laughed off the internet. You know, by the way, there's some things that are for you and there's some things that are for me, even though I think some of these videos would like go viral, but maybe not for the right reason. But anyway, who knows? Zach, maybe I'll drop one of these for you at some point in 2024. But it's sexy.
That sounds good.
Baby, Uncle Baby out here fucking ripping it, shaking it.
Yeah, do it.
It's fun. And the time flies. And you're getting built-in rhythm and coordination training. You're getting built-in breath work. And especially when it comes to mobility, too, people, the way people stretch is just they put a leg up and they just stand there. No, you got to oscillate. You got to bounce in and out. You got to really explore the space. And that kind of goes into the next piece here, which is, you know, you are a musician. And, you know, music and fitness go hand in hand. They really do. Like yes. Some of my best workouts have been in silence. You know, honestly, a lot of the stuff I like to do music wise for a good training session, like we've had them in our videos too, like retro wave or synth wave, where there's no, it's all instrumentals, because vocals can actually be distracting, especially when it comes to like strength yes. training and stuff like that. But talk to me about like your musical influences. Then I want to also get like, because most of us that are on Spotify, we've gotten our like 2023 rap. So like which music we listen to the most, the songs, artists. I want to kind of hear about that from you as well. And also like, you know, give us some suggest. You're the DJ. So give us like a fucking playlist for the holidays to kind of go with here.
Oh, a little holiday playlist. Holiday. You know, it's funny about the Spotify Wrapped, and this is, it might seem kind of egotistical or something, but this is like not something that, I don't know. It's crazy. I'm just feeling myself. My top artist on Spotify was me this year. So my top song was my song, Party Life. I was feeling it.
Who do you think mine was?
Your top artist?
Yeah, but who's the top two?
Top two on your list? Man, yeah. I don't know. You've got a pretty diverse.
It is diverse.
You got a pretty diverse taste.
It isn't, but
I'm just gonna say me, because that sounds good. And then I don't know, Boys to Men.
No, actually, I was surprised by it. Number one was Drake, and okay. Number two was Doja Cat.
Oh, no, that's good. Yeah, cool. Nice.
There's some people like, okay, this is, I am unsubscribing to this channel.
No. Yeah. When I was in high school, I thought that anything that that was popular had to be terrible. I was just like, if it's popular, I hate it. But now, I like, and this is going to be, oh, you're like a hipster or something. I like Doja Cat for a long time. I like Doja Cat when she was doing low budget green screen internet videos. So I actually think it's cool that she's as popular as she is. And they're both great. I don't care if you don't like them, whoever's listening, they're both great songwriters. And they're both great rapping and singing. So,
Think about just the, I mean, what can't they do? I mean, obviously, you know, Drake isn't as good of a singer as like a classic R&B soul funk, but he sings, raps. Few can rap like he can, different genres too. I mean, like he had the energy this year that I needed, like the kind of nonstop, no friends in the industry, just, you know, keep going type of shit that kind of, you know, that I like to listen to, you know, whether I'm walking or just trying to get fired up for something big. And obviously, you know, who doesn't like the Cat? The cat is like a musical genius in terms of what she does with her voice and song selection, stuff like that. But, you
super
know,
creative.
I listen to a lot of different stuff. I was just curious. So you were number one. Who was like 2, 3, 4, 5 for you? Like, what are you? And you've sent me stuff like we've corresponded a good amount over the years, and your taste is, I mean, you like classical, you like soul funk, you like pop, you like, you really, and I think you have to be as a DJ, like you said, you're just open-minded to all types of music, because all the genres, man, like even if they're not like the one that you put on first or is your go-to, you can always take something from them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I do a lot of like active listening practice, and it's actually like sort of a practice I adopted a long time ago. Was if there's a music, some kind of music that I don't like, but I know someone who likes it, I will listen to it and try to find something about it that I like, so, and it helps me understand the person better. And it's all music. Even if you don't like the sounds that you're hearing, there's patterns in there. There's melodies. Like if you played the same song, completely different set of instruments, maybe at a different tempo, like you can take music apart in your mind and think of it in different ways, and then you'll like it. It's all music. It's all patterns. And chances are you like the patterns, even if you don't realize it because of the sound package. But my number two is Queen Herbie. Well, I love Queen Herbie. She's amazing. Another rapper, singer, great songwriter. She's freaking awesome. And another one of my tops is Rakim. He's amazing. I read his book, and that's one of the reasons I started listening to him a lot more this year. I read his book earlier this year. He's got, it's a really long title, but it's like, it's a book on creativity. And it's like Lessons from the Lyrical Genius. And I'll recommend anyone, if you're interested in hip hop, music, or creativity, that book by Rakim is amazing. And it's like four more popular people. I like Jack Harlow. He came out of the album this year called Jack Man. And Jack Harlow is spitting. So don't sleep on that.
he reminds me, like, I think of Jack Harlow, like, and it's not just because he's white, but he's like a joyful Eminem. Because, like, they're both, like, the talent is undeniable. But, you know, Eminem leans a little towards the angry side.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Eminem can be funny too, but he leans a little more toward the rage. Harlow is more just, you know, it's more of a like a fun. I don't know. And I thought he did pretty well too in the White Men Can't Jump remake.
I didn't see that. Actually, I didn't even know about that.
Acting chops, like, you know, and so I like his new joint too. I'm Vanilla Baby. What was the name of that song?
Oh, I don't know. I might not have heard it yet.
Oh, no. Brand new? You'll like it. In fact, you know, I expect you to be listening to that later today.
Yeah, I probably will. Yep.
But who else did you mention to? Rakim, you know, he, the Paid in Full is one of my favorites. And then I also really like that extended 7-minute mix.
Yeah. It's super dope.
Always around this time of year, like because again, this for what I do, this is a big part of what sets the business for next year, you know, New Year fitness, all that stuff. So, Paid in Full always finds its way into my rotation. You know, when you got to close, because Uncle Baby, he is a salesman.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, yep, I love that. Yes, yeah.
Any particular song or artist or album that really stood out for you this year that, you know, people might want to look into that they haven't yet?
Ooh, well, Queen Herbie has this song called I Just Found Out. And it's like, I just found out that I'm the baddest bitch. And that, like, I like Queen Herbie's really positive and uplifting, but it's like in this rap sort of form. And so that was sort of my anthem. It's kind of funny because I like a lot of girl music. I like Riot Girl Punk. There's a girl called Girly that I like a lot. So I love powerful women, and I've been trying to like surround myself with powerful women, including in the music I listen to. So Queen Herbie. So I was like singing along, I Just Found Out I'm the Baddest Bitch, for like a month. When you sing, like, and that song is so important to me, because when you sing something really loud in your car by yourself, you're kind of like owning that. Like, I was owning that as part of my identity. Like, I'm like, I just found out I'm the baddest bitch, and you got to deal with that. I've realized that part of my life, part of living your life well, is dealing with how freaking amazing you are and all the awesome things you can do as a human if you just allow yourself to do it. And sometimes it feels like a lot, but you can, if you can maintain and ride those waves, you can go high. And so that's that song by Queen Herbie really stuck out to me. And then a Jack Harlow song. He's got this song called It Can't Be. I love it. And when I was in high school, I used to carry on a rap notebook, and people used to say, oh, you're going to be the next Eminem. I rapped all the time. And I loved hip hop before I even heard of Eminem. He's just a little older than me. He's actually from the same city as me, Kansas City. He grew up in Kansas City before he moved to Detroit. But people used to say, oh, you're going to be the next Eminem. And I'd be like, why got to be Eminem? Why can't be anybody else that is a rapper? Why has it got to be Eminem? But I liked Eminem. When Eminem came out, I was like, Eminem is freaking cold. But I sort of like rejected the identity of a white rapper. And Jack Harlow now is, there's a lot more white rappers now. So it's less of a thing. Like, there's people could say, oh, you're the next Jack Harlow, or you're the next, there's more white rappers they could say. But this song, It Can't Be, he talks about why he's successful. And all the reasons that he talks about why he's successful is things that I do in my life. And the thing he kind of flips it, you know, why am I so successful? It can't be my skin, right? I can't think of any other reason. He's like, it can't be the way I walk in a room. It can't be the way I make people feel like they're equal to me. Like he spits it. That's not really doing it justice, but that really connected with me because I'm like, he's super successful. I could tell by his rap that he's doing a lot of things that I'm doing. And he's also probably been, people probably said similar things to him that they said to me being a white rapper because people just see color, you know, they're like, they see the color of your skin. That's how they identify you. And before you had album covers, all you heard was the music. People thought Rick Astley was black before they saw him.
That is true. That is true. I hear that all the time.
Yeah. And he's just a little gingery
dude. Michael McDonald, another great example. The beautiful voice Michael McDonald has.
Yeah, Michael McDonald's amazing. And I love Rick Astley, too. I love that stuff, too. I love that 80s.
Dare I say Michael Bolton?
Dude, Michael, me and my partner were talking about it. He's like, say what you want about Michael Bolton. I used to hate on him in high school, but that dude can sing. Tell me he can't sing.
Look, man, nobody got more pussy in the 80s than Michael Bolton. Okay? Respect. You know, and like, you know, he also did some serious duets with like all-time queens of R&B. I think he did one with Patti, if it wasn't Patti LaBelle, I think it was Patti LaBelle. We're Not Making Love Anymore. I think he did with, she's not going to do a song with you unless you've got the chops.
Oh, for sure. I haven't heard that. I'm going to have to go look that up.
Oh, yeah. If it's not Patti LaBelle, it's another one of the all-time queens of R&B. And so I forget, again, because I'm at this advanced age. Before we close out with this Fit Commitment performance, you mentioned like, oh, that, you know, you're going to be this guy. People have a tendency, right, to like, the human brain does this. Like they see something, it's like, oh, you're like him or you're like her.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to
put
you on that track. And, you know, before this performance, I think it's important to point out too, you had mentioned you did SpeechRed, right? So, you know, for me, that was this big opportunity to get on the Men's Health platform and share all the workouts I've been doing with my boot campers and at the Fitness Asylum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Like I literally just took their favorite workouts and I made them adaptable to home. And I brought the same energy that they liked and I tried to bring it through the screen. So like, you know, it's about to launch and I'm so excited. I'm like, this is going to change my life. And it did in many ways. It wasn't the overnight success that I was hoping for. Like most things aren't, by the way, in your journey. It's just a test that gets you ready for the next test in the journey of whatever you're trying to do big in and out of the gym in life. And, but then the trailer for it drops and I'm like, I can't wait to see, like, people are going to be excited about this. And again, some people like said some nice stuff. I'm going to do a video, a YouTube video about this probably soon too. But then I looked through some of them and it's like, you know, this is Tony Horton on crack, which I chuckled at that one. Or, you know, I literally hate him. Like some nasty shit, like that made me want to just fucking, it went from like what was going to be like this big moment of my life. I wanted to just go crawl in a hole and just kill myself. You know, and a lot of people that want to do big things in life, first of all, they won't even, unfortunately, have the self-belief or confidence to even take that first shot. But then they do, and then they get hit with that level of negativity, and they basically just revert to a lesser form of themselves for the rest of their life. So if you're that person, and again, I've been there, like I had so much criticism that came since, because again, then it was a trajectory rig, just get in front of millions of people and they're taking shots left and right daily. And it made me hate people. It made me an already introverted person that doesn't like to keep a small circle. Like it made me want to go even smaller. And I allowed them in a lot of ways to like, there was things that I wanted to share that I was just afraid to do it because of fear of negativity or criticism. And that's part of why I turn out the comments. Cause again, like, the praise doesn't really help me anymore because frankly, I already have a community that I run all the stuff I share through first. And I just bring to the masses what my people at dailybj.com love. And I've been doing this for so long. I know what's fire and what's not, frankly, like you do with the music game, but I definitely don't need the negativity because the negativity prevents me from putting stuff out there that can really help people. And whether it be bring a smile to their face or some joy in their life or add a little muscle mass, lose a little fat, get a little more mobility, find their way out of pain, energize their day. So I share that because I know you know what that's like to get criticism, and I know a lot of people listening do. So it comes with the territory. But the beauty of a lot of this too is you define whether or not you're going to even let that criticism get in your way. Yes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have comments on. I mean, at the end of the day, the comments don't really matter. It's the views and who keeps showing up. So don't let other people limit your creative capacity. Have fun. Be you. It was fun. The Tony Horton thing was funny too. It's like I'd never watched his shit. Nothing against the guy, but I'm personally I don't really consume much fitness content. I like music. I like sports. I just don't consume fitness personally. I was aware of P90X. I live in America. Okay. But I people would already say you're ripping off this guy or this, nothing new. I've seen all this stuff before. That is part of the territory. In fact, what people that find success typically say, oh, well, the sign of someone that's about to make it is someone that actually starts to get criticized because people actually care. Yep. So it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that criticism is part of this journey to success. I share that with you guys and gals because, again, you had mentioned that just like, it's like 11 years ago, and I looked at some of these comments, and I'm like, I immediately got back to that state of rage and hate. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to flip this script. I'm going to talk about this and share this. The fact that it can still hit me in that way is a credit to the power of hatred and negativity. 11 years ago, I'm 41. I was like 28, 29 at the time. It destroyed me, man. It destroyed me. But I'm still here. I'm still here. It's not my fault. I'm the one that makes your mom wet. Someone's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it.
On that note, Zach, take us away with this exclusive performance of the Fit Commitment. This is the exclusive to the daily, the BJ Couture podcast.
Yes.
So enjoy this, guys. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, just wrote it last week. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Shout out to BJ for having me on, making all the delicious fitness content. So this is we talked a little bit about this in the podcast. This is essentially a rap version of my fitness journey. So here we go. Check it out. When I was 27, I got real sick. Then I made the commitment to get real fit. I got a membership, y'all, down at the Y. Working out on weight machines, trying to be that guy. 3 months in, 4 out of my brain. Working out on weight machines just wasn't my thing. I needed something different, something fresh and new. And I was still the same skinny kid I was in high school. My breathing was shallow, my muscles was weak. I couldn't walk up the stairs without busting a wheeze. And I lived on the third floor and smoked hella weed. So when I couldn't breathe, y'all, I couldn't do me. I needed a new me, a new pair of lungs and some brand new knees. And I knew in order to get any of that, the first thing I needed was a new routine. Woo! Y'all need a new routine. You can't just keep doing the same thing. If you want things to change, change the things you do. And make sure your routine is so fresh, so new. Woo! Y'all need a new routine. You can't just keep doing the same thing. If you want things to change, then change the things you do. And make sure your routine is so fresh, so new. Diagnosed asthmatic, that was problematic. Cause I wanted to work magic on the stage and stay attractive. 27 years is way too young to be thinking that I was about to be done. I wanted to run, jump, swim, and climb to any mountain peak and enjoy the sublime view. Instead, there I was in my recliner, couldn't breathe, thought I was dead. So I went to the emergency and they said I needed a prescription. Stood in line waiting for my inhaler. The pharmacy was my prison. And I did some research, learned that asthma's a condition. And you can get rid of it if you just improve your fitness. So I read a lot of books in the fitness magazines, and I searched the internet for the perfect routine. And I tried a lot of things, and nothing that I tried got me results. I wasn't satisfied, so I needed the guides. I'm gonna show me the way. Then I got the Speed Tread DVD with BJ. He had passion in his eyes, I could tell he was lit. And ever since then, I've been Delta Fit. Woo! Y'all need a new routine. You can't just keep doing the same thing. If you want things to change, you gotta change the things you do.
And make sure your routine is so fresh, so new. Woo. Y'all need a new routine. Y'all need a new routine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to BJ and all the podcast listeners. Yeah, yeah.
Yes! This is all that you wrote it. That's your original beat.
Yep, wrote that beat. I made that beat in 25 minutes. That was
shit, man. Look, that was excellent. Dude, I mean, I love how you change up the speed of the flow. It was funny. I mean, look, dude, this is that's you in essence, man. The joy, the fun, and you got genuine lyrical ability, and you're just you got that musicality, man. I love it. That was fantastic.
Thank you, and thanks for inviting me, because that like put the pressure on. I was like, oh, BJ said I could do a grand finale song. I'm like, it's been kind of an idea I had in the back of my mind for a long time. I wanted to write sort of a song about my journey as gratitude for you. So it was like, it just aligned that this was the right moment. And then, I actually dedicated myself to spending some time writing songs every day. I just started doing that. It was like last 5 days. And when I did that, I wrote this song in 2 days. In like 2 1-hour blocks. I just made sure it was the first thing. After I did my morning routine, first thing I did was start writing a song. And it just flew. I just flowed out of me, I think, because of everything that you've given me, I really wanted to give back to you.
Well, dude, man, that means a lot to me, brother, man. And I'm really, it's also a gift to be able to get you on. And, you know, obviously we don't have millions of listeners, but the people that do listen, I'm sure they're going to enjoy that, because it was fantastic. And by the way, that was like, a couple minute version of almost everything we talked about in song. Like all good songs find a way to communicate like big lengthy messages in a very short period of time. And they're sticky.
Yeah.
They're sticky. I love it. We're going to drop the links in the show notes with, you're going to send me the links to your music on Spotify. When is the Fit Commitment going to drop? When's that LP dropping?
That's a great question. You know, I put out a single earlier this year, made a music video. I got this other song. Woo, it's going to take over the world, y'all. So I got to record it first. I haven't even recorded it. So, I'm going to keep writing songs. And my plan is to just be releasing a bunch of songs over the next years and albums and all the things. So, yeah, I can't say exactly when that song will drop officially, but it just dropped here. So.
There it is. So, man, this is an exclusive. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much to DJ Z Sonic. Look, he gave us an hour of his time, and he wrote an original song. So the least you can do, take your beautiful little index finger and give us a 5-star. It takes a second. It takes 10 seconds to say in a review, BJ Podcast, good, with the 5-star, okay? That's all you got. I don't need you to like be like, oh, this, what I like about it is this and that. No, just BJ Podcast Good. I'm good with 3 words. I don't need syntax.
BJ Podcast Good. That's a great review. 5-star.
That's all you got to do. And yeah. Please check out Zach's stuff in the show notes. Please be sure to like, share, subscribe. If you're listening on YouTube, I got a bunch of podcasts coming up now on YouTube that really make sense to video, where we're showing movements and obviously conversations. So I'm excited about that. And again, I'll drop the audio versions on iTunes and Spotify. The BJ Gajor podcast. So be sure to check that out. And we'll be back with more, man. This was a great episode. I can't highlight all of our members, but you know, there's just some people that I have to, and Zach's one of those guys. The positivity, the enthusiasm, the commitment, the discipline, and obviously the fucking talent. You guys just saw it. Woo. Live. That was a live performance, by the way, live at the end of an hour long podcast. I know this isn't the Breakfast Club, but this might be the start. This might be the test.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready. Can't test me. I didn't go to school very much. I didn't go to very much attendance, but I passed all the tests with mad A's. So passing tests is what got me through school. So I'm good at that.
At the end of the day. I mean, attending is one thing. You got to perform too. You got to perform. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and have a beautiful rest of your day. Peace.